Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College podcast. On today's episode, we have Dean of Students and Campus Pastor, Reverend Jared Turner, in a continuing Getting to Know You series with our staff here on campus. Of course, as you will learn, Brother Turner joined the team back in January of 2021, and we are delighted that he is here. He brings an incredible gravity to the campus and to students' life. But if you're looking to continue education and you're not able to join us on campus and meet Brother Turner in person, might I suggest the Indiana Bible College online learning option? You can visit indianabiblecollege.online for more information and to schedule a quick little meeting with our program director over there. If you're not ready to take the plunge just yet, if online learning is too great of a commitment, let me tell you about something that would absolutely get you the feel for Indiana Bible College online learning, and that is the Apostolic Doctrine Workshop. It's coming up here in the middle of August. You'll be hearing more about this as we approach the date, but it is going to be an absolute incredible time. 2 or 3 days of apostolic doctrine delivered right to your device. The Apostolic Doctrine Workshop is coming quickly, so make sure that you plan to attend that. Right now, Getting to Know You with Reverend Jared Turner.
Well, Brother Turner, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on the IBC podcast today. We just want to take a few minutes and get to know you, ask you some questions. And first of all, maybe you can give us just a little bit of personal background and your path to be here as the campus pastor at IBC.
Sure. Well, I grew up here in Indianapolis at Calvary Tabernacle. Grew up around IBC from the time I was a little guy. I went to CCS, to Calvary Christian School, attached to Calvary Tabernacle. So I had a real privileged upbringing as far as apostolic teaching and doctrine and exposure to incredible ministries. Paul Mooney was my pastor until I left to move to Arkansas when I was, 24. So that was a big part of my upbringing, is just the ministry of Calvary Tabernacle and in some small way, IBC. And I began to, through that process of just being at Calvary, going to CCS, begin to just develop a kind of a calling on my life. I didn't really understand it. I was 12 years old when it really started to kind of form in my life. Sister Barkus, the principal's wife at Calvary Christian School, asked me to do a sermonette type thing when I was a sixth grader in our elementary school chapel. And that's really kind of the moment when I began to feel God kind of doing something in my life and in my heart. And it just through that process of just beginning to discern that voice of God from that early age is kind of what led me here through many different detours and steps. I'm not sure how in depth you want to get, but it was that process. And so, of course, I had great parents and family, grandparents that supported me and were godly people and loved the Lord. But it was that training that I got to be sensitive to the voice of God at an early age that I credit with a lot of why I'm here today.
That's wonderful. You know, I was here before you left to Arkansas, watched you, and maybe talked to, you were here at Bible College as a student. You were the student body president at IBC for at least some of your time here. You were also going to Butler University, if I remember right. Can you talk about your education and that
Sure.
season of life?
Yeah, and so, you know, when I talked about being 12, it was not a foregone conclusion that I was going to listen to that voice, because I had, like I said, I had a very privileged upbringing. I had a wonderful family, and not a lot of ministers, no ministers in my direct family. So I just come from a family of really smart folks that value education, that love the Lord. I had that modeled of how to be a faithful saint of God. And so the Lord was dealing with me, but it wasn't a foregone conclusion that I would say yes. So I was a, just naturally, I was a good student as far as school was easy to me. For like, you know, not everybody has the same skill set, and mine was more oriented toward academics. And so I had opportunities to go to school. But I had this kind of other thing, too, that this God was dealing with me. And people, you know, when you're young, people, the way they talk to you and about you really can impact your life. And so people were saying things like, you're going to be a scientist like your dad, you're going to be an engineer like your grandpa, and of course those were great men to admire. And so I kind of had that in the background. So college was something, a secular university was just something that I was going to do. But then God began to kind of do something else in my heart. And so the time came when I graduated high school and I had to make a decision. And by this point, I had embraced more fully kind of the call of God that was on my life. And I knew that Bible college was in my future. But I had opportunity to go to a secular university. And my dad gave me a great piece of advice. He said, Jared, not a lot of people get the opportunity that you have. They might not have the finances. They might not have the abilities. I think it's something you need to explore and just see. And so I went there kind of to Butler University with more of a kind of, let's just see what happens. And kind of was leaning toward science because that was just kind of, that was in my mindset. That was how people thought of me, is like this, you know, I was going to be an engineer. I was going to be a scientist or something like that. And so I was kind of leaning in that direction, but I could just begin to, I was already kind of engaging in that realm of ideas and things. And so through my time there, it shifted, and it was really instrumental in my life, because for the first time I was outside of kind of an apostolic bubble. I had been raised in an apostolic home, went to an apostolic school, pretty much K through 12. So it was very, very challenging to me. I ended up in the English department. I was an English literature major, and it was very, very challenging in that highly secular environment. And it ended up being a pivotal thing in my life, not necessarily for what I learned, but how I learned to rely on God. My faith was incredibly challenged. And that moment where I almost walked away from it because I was so challenged, pushed by all the different ideas of the world, and wondered if I was brainwashed because I had been raised so sheltered. And it was a moment where God had to break through, and I had to be renewed in the power of the Holy Ghost and be reminded of the power of God and what He could do. And so it was a critical moment, not just in my education, although I did learn some skills of writing and communication and things, but it was primarily a spiritual component. And so it really worked in my favor. And through that time, in the middle of that, I started coming to IBC part-time. And so that kind of helped me ground myself in a different friend group, in a different environment. And God really used that in my life. And then when I graduated there, I came to Indiana Bible College full-time. And to compare the two worldviews, I look back on it with so much value because I can compare. And I can see the value of what IBC has to give because I know the kind of the emptiness of the other side of secular humanism and how void of meaning it is. And so I can compare the two worldviews. So God used that. It's certainly not the path for everybody, but it's the path that God led me on. And I was just grateful that God shepherded me through that time in my life.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you, even like in your last Connect sermon, you were talking about a topic that Pastor Mooney has preached so often, which is the learning of the heart. And that moment, you talk about the moment where you were renewed in the Holy Ghost in that season, and that's just a touchstone for you. And just a pivotal moments that the Lord does things. So fast forward a little bit. Now you graduate, and you're looking at what happens next, and you end up in Whitehall, Arkansas. Can you tell us a little bit about that process of getting there?
Sure.
And even, you know, here's, I'm always interested in the love story sure. stuff, and yes. I know that you guys have a cool story.
It is an awesome story, and they're connected. They are interwoven. You can't tell one without the other. Be disingenuous too. So I'll tell my side of the story first, because it was mostly the cool stuff was happening on my wife's side, and I was just kind of along for the ride, apparently. And the Lord was very good to me and gracious to me. But I was coming to end of my time at IBC, and I was graduating. And then, as every graduate of Indiana Bible College knows, when you've battled the kind of the questions of what are you going to do with your Bible college degree, I also had an English literature degree, which didn't help me any, because what are you going to do with English? What are you going to do with a Bible college degree? So, I mean, I had these questions were coming hard and fast. And I was also, like has been said, I was a student body president. So there's like a certain expectation that I was going to do great things. And so I wanted to, to have a place to go when Bible college ended. And it came that time and I didn't have any real opportunities. And so in the process, the Lord was working on my heart, working, teaching me and helping me. And looking back on it, I was pretty immature, and I wasn't quite ready for what I thought I was ready for. I had a kind of an overestimation of my own ability. And so the Lord was using that season of my life to teach me to trust Him and rely on Him. But the kind of the long story short in that regard is that I had some internship opportunities that I thought were going to work out. I had some opportunities that turned out not to really be opportunities. They kind of vanished. I was left with nothing. I was trying to get in contact with Brother Mooney, and he really helped me. He helped slow me down, and which frustrated me, but he helped me. And kind of, he told me at graduation, I know you wanted a big announcement, but you're just going to have to trust the Lord. And that was a pivotal moment in my life. And then in the middle of June, Brother Mooney calls me, and there was an internship in Whitehall, Arkansas, that I knew was on the table. I wasn't really interested in it, but everything else had kind of fallen through. And he had talked to the pastor there, and he called me and he said, Brother Turner, Whitehall is the will of God for your life. And I was shocked, but I was thankful. I was relieved that I had a place to go. And so I went on a summer internship. Now, that is my wife's home church. She was a freshman when I was a senior, and we were acquaintances, we were friendly, but we were not friends necessarily. And it was really on that internship where we began to become closer friends. And the internship ended, she came back to IBC, I went home to Indianapolis, so we were in the same city, and that's when we began to date. And after we got married, right before we got married, we knew we were going to be married, and whether it was live here in Indianapolis or in Whitehall, Arkansas, and that's when Brother Isaacson called me, the pastor there, to be the youth pastor. And I just prayed about it and felt like that was what God had for me, and so I moved there, and Nikki and I got married. Now, like I said, it's disingenuous to tell my side of the story and just to make it seem like a normal, ordinary thing without telling her side. It really is her story to tell, but it's, of course, impacted my life so much. I'm grateful for it and what God did. Because, and I won't tell you all the details, so leave it to her to say it, but God spoke to her when she was a freshman at Indiana Bible College in a dream. We were not friends. She thought I was 30 years old. I was only 23. I'm only 31 now. So, she thought I was 30 years old. She knew I was student body president. Just thought, not interested. Just, whatever. Just older. She was 18. And so we didn't have the same friend groups, all that kind of stuff that goes along with being a senior and a freshman. But God spoke to her after a chapel service. and she was, she laid down for a nap. She said she was exhausted, but there had been a great chapel service. And in that dream, we were married, and she knew it. From what she tells me, we were some sort of leadership, pastors or something, and we were going through a hard trial, and in it, we were married. And when she woke up from that dream, she thought, well, that was weird. And she thought she was a little bit crazy. And she didn't think anything of it, but just through the process, and like I said, it's her story to tell, but through the process, God just kept reminding her that that was from Him. That we were going to be married. And I mean, she didn't particularly like me. She didn't particularly know me. But then our friends group started to kind of align, and I started popping up more and more. And through a lot of different bumps in the road, you know, it was just God kept reminding her that this is from me, that this is from me. And so when I came, and it was supposed to be another intern that came to Whitehall that summer. So from her end, things looked impossible. It looked like I actually had started dating someone else before this all happened. So it looked like it was an impossibility, but she had a promise from God. And so she tells me that through that, God was just teaching her about faithfulness, His faithfulness. If He says it, He brings it to pass. And she would be so discouraged, and then she would pray about it, and God would encourage her that this is going to happen. And she wrote me a letter in April of, I guess it would have been, of 2013. And that was, it looked very, very impossible. And she didn't send it to me, of course, but she just wrote it just so she could document. And I still have it today. But just of what God had spoken to her and the promise that God had given her. And so when it was announced that at the church that I was coming as the intern, it was, and then she talked to one of her friends and found out that the relationship I had had ended, and this was God's timing, kind of just bringing it to pass. And then within a year and a half, we were married, and God's word was faithful and true. And she can tell it much better, but it's an incredible story. And it was very humbling to me to know how much God was working on my behalf, even when I couldn't really see it. And God was dealing with her. And I know what it sounds like, and we share the story very carefully because, you know, there's always Bible college students that feel like God's called them to marry this person, and sometimes it, you know, it's just the flesh, you know, it's not really working. But in our case, it was definitely God. And so what our worldview is that if you ask, God has an opinion about who you should marry. Because the backstory of hers is that she was a very diligent young lady about praying for her future spouse, and God honored that and worked in our life in a very miraculous way.
My observation of both you and your wife is that you've been prayerful and you've asked with each move that you've gone down, and I think that's so, in my observation, that's been so pivotal for you both,
yeah.
And then coming together. Can you speak to what making decisions, big decisions especially, has looked like for you and or your family?
Yeah. Well, in what I tell young people that come to me and they're worried about the decisions that they have to make, because it on the outside looking in, it almost seems unfair that when you're 20, 21 years old, you're faced with so many important decisions and you feel inadequate, and in many ways you are. I was very inadequate to make those decisions. But from my own experience, I know that God will not let you make a mistake unless you are determined to make a mistake. That's the mercy of God. Did I make every decision right in my 20s, in that little span of my life when so many decisions had to be made? No, I didn't make every decision right, but I was unwilling to force my own agenda. And just having, and it's that positioning of the heart. of having a heart that says, I'm not going to become so enamored with my own ideas that I'm going to pursue this. I had told people at IBC, my classmates, I don't think I'll ever be a youth pastor. I didn't have a desire to be a youth pastor. I didn't think it was my gifting. And I was totally wrong. And so if I had become married to that idea and rejected all opportunities, well, that God's will couldn't have played out in my life. But see, the mercy of God was such that that was the only opportunity on the table. And so God was leading me. And all I had to do was just say yes. And not really be thrilled about it, but just say yes. And the mercy of God was such that he overcame, you know, any kind of faulty thinking that I had. So you don't have to be perfect, but you have to be willing to say yes.
That's so good. And you hear in that an echo of Pastor Mooney, don't plan your life or you will underplan. Brother Turner, would you just share, you know, you've talked about your wife, you guys have a child. Can you tell us just a little bit about your family?
Yeah, we have a daughter. She's 2. Her name is Sage. She's got curly red hair, and she's the most beautiful 2-year-old on the planet, in my opinion. And God has just been really good to us. And throughout our time, we youth pastored in Arkansas for 6 years. In that time, I was employed part-time at the church. I was working kind of odd jobs. I was a substitute teacher for a while. We didn't have a lot of money. The church, a man in the church provided us a home, our pastor and us. We both lived in the same home. We lived in a downstairs apartment. They lived upstairs. And that's the way we could survive. And we were able to give a lot of attention to our youth group in that time. But in 2016, we went through a house fire. So our pastor and us both lost our home, that home that was provided for us. And so for me and my wife, we were sent into kind of a period in 2017 where we had no ability to live on our own, really. We were living in a small house in her parents' backyard that they had built for her grandmother who had passed away. So we were able to move into that little house, which we were very grateful for because we had a place to live. It was our own of sorts, but we didn't have our own address. We didn't have our own driveway. We felt in many ways like we were stuck. And we began to question, God, we're working for you. We thought we were working for you. And it was just a really kind of a time in our life where we were just questioning, God, what are you doing with us? Are we not advancing fast enough? Are we not maturing? Can you not trust us with good things? We're here in a small town, small church, youth pastoring, no money. But once again, it's like I didn't have my thinking right, but I was just willing to say yes and not leave, not run away. Brother Mooney had given me some great advice and no lateral moves. He just, you got to wait for God to open a door. And so because we had made the decision to come, we were not going to leave until we felt released to leave. So we just kept pressing on. And what that did was it spurred me to, I started looking for a better job. I needed a better job. We needed a consistent income. And through that process, God led me to a job that taught me a lot, because I was going into homes of poor people, lack of a better word, disadvantaged people, helping them, talking to them. It was really a beautiful job to have. And then I transitioned to where I could work from home in a management role. And so God just, that was a blessing. That company, that was a blessing to my family. And it came through adversity. And at that time when we didn't have a home and we no prospect of it, we also, my wife got a diagnosis that looked like we were not able to have children. It was very, it was just a dark moment. It was like a, you know, Brother Mooney talked about it all the time, like a dark place, not of wickedness, but just of uncertainty. And in fact, God was working in that darkness, but we just had to trust him. And so in 2018, I had got the job in late 2017. I got promoted, started working from home. And in that same time, we found a house. The lady that sold us the house, it really blessed us, gave us a great deal on it, said her heart went out to us. Just, God was just working in our life. And that home, to maybe outsiders, was just a small house, and it's just kind of the natural process of a family. But to us, it was a miracle, because we knew where God had brought us from. And so it was after we moved in, I got promoted to where I could work from home, and then we found out that our daughter was on the way. And it just so fast, 2018 was just a year of miracles for us, just miracles that were just so beyond what we could even comprehend. It was not just a little miracle. It was a complicated, big, deep miracle in our heart, and just God blessing us and giving us favor. And that year has shaped our life, because it's taught us to trust the Lord. It's taught us that even things that seem negative, God might be doing something else, and just to wait and trust him and rely on him. And watching God answer those prayers built us in a way that just learning from a book could never do. Could never do.
It's beautiful to hear stories like that, because we look and see the end result, or not the end of the story in either one of our cases, mm-hmm. or people who are younger, but you see a culmination of some wonderful things. And I can look back on my life and see the same pattern,
sure.
of periods.
Absolutely.
That just look like it makes no sense.
No
Am
sense.
I even in the will of God?
Yep.
God, why would you allow this? And then somehow the flower blooms.
Yes.
And it's just a beautiful process. But it's hard to get through.
Yes.
It's hard to see through. What is something that a young person, maybe they're looking at the next step of their life and it looks maybe not the way they wanted it to. It looks confusing. It looks like it's not a leap into a position or success. Or what advice do you give young people like that who are looking at the confusion that the will of God can mm-hmm. be?
Well, the advice that I would have to give is not my own. But Brother Galyon preached a message when I was a Bible college student talking about that, those kind of things. And he said to guard your integrity, because it's the only thing that you have. And that, keeping your heart and your convictions and your fidelity to the truth and to God, is the only thing that makes you valuable to God. And so if you cheapen that by pursuing anything else at the expense of that, those other things can vanish so quickly. Money can be gone like that. Property can be gone like that. A title, a position can be gone like that. But if you keep your integrity, if you keep that internal sense of this is who I am and I live it every day, there's no time when I lay it down. I don't lay my calling down. I don't lay my Christian convictions down ever. Regardless of the position that I'm in, I remember who God has called me to be. And then that kind of preserves you, so that when God calls you, you can say yes. But if you've compromised, the call will never come. And where you get in your own striving or connections or friendships, and you think, if I can connect with this person, if I can get in with this, you know, ministry, then, you know, if you sacrifice who you are and your convictions, then God can't elevate you. And God can elevate you so much more quickly than you can elevate yourself.
That's so good. It reminds me of the Bible verse, you know, when God gives the blessing, I'm butchering this, it's in Proverbs, there's mm-hmm. no sorrow added to it.
Yeah.
There's no
yes.
regret. There's no, you
yes.
didn't push the door
yes.
open. It's a perfect gift. And I think, and it's just true, that you and your wife are in the will of God being here in this position for this time. And it's wonderful to hear the backstory of how it all happened and how you waited on the Lord. You know, I also see in the way that you present things and think and preach that you have embodied some of Brother Galyon, some of Brother Mooney, yeah, and the influences through the years. And so you're not somebody who's come into this institution without really having a heart for what this institution has been for and about. Yes. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about maybe what IBC and Calvary's meant to you, but also what you hope students who come here will leave with?
Yeah, I, of course, growing up, Calvary was all I knew. It was the only church. I mean, I visited other churches very seldom, but Calvary was everything. I remember when I realized that it was odd that churches had orchestras. I just thought every church had an orchestra because Calvary did. And as I got a little older, I just realized what a unique place Calvary Tabernacle was. And at a very kind of early age, I began to pay attention. Of course, through the great instructing at CCS and chapel services and then, you know, in the youth group and just having an environment where God can move on you. But I began to pay attention to preaching. And what better place than Calvary Tabernacle that has had such a faithful pulpit? And Brother Mooney specifically, I began to listen to him preach, really listen. And something about his preaching resonated in my heart. And that kind of that worldview of making sure that your heart is right. He would emphasize that so much, and that you read the Bible with the right heart, you study it with the right heart, you follow the Spirit, and you keep your motives in check. And I just watched him live that out from the pulpit, really, because it was such a large church, I didn't get a lot of one-on-one time with him. It was from the pulpit. And that idea that the power of God can do anything if we will get out of the way and not put our hands on it. And so growing up in an environment where the Spirit of the Lord could move freely, it was so valuable to me, because I left the protection of Indiana Bible College and Calvary Tabernacle, and I went out into the world, into even the world of Pentecostal, Oneness Pentecostalism. And I realized that sometimes in our zeal, I'm talking in broad terms here, in our zeal for the moving of the Lord, we can turn what should be a spiritual moment into a controlled moment where it looks like the Lord is moving, but really it's something we have made, we've put it in our architecture that this is going to happen. And so in those times, it's very confusing because you're like, something's off. It looks kind of like church, but it's off. And I could go back and remember what it felt like to be at Calvary Tabernacle when the power of God could just freely move at any moment. I really credit Brother Mooney's leadership for that, of like kind of a hands-off approach. Let God do the work. God does better work than we could ever do. And that was valuable to me. And so I learned that that's the kind of minister that I want to be. I want to let God use me. I don't want to impose anything on anybody from me. But God's Word and God's Spirit, that He's the one that has to do the work. And people will line up, people will surrender, or they'll walk away. Because the power of God is truly irresistible. And you got to let God do the work. And so for students coming to IBC, I want them to, first of all, apply that to their life. Hey, let God do the work. But then have that kind of ministry where you let the Word do the work, where you let the Spirit lead you, instead of trying to craft something that is contrived, because then it will be a version that can't really do anything. It has the appearance but denies the power. And that's really the value of Indiana Bible College. It's the ecosystem that I grew up in, but it has shaped me, and I have watched it. It has been proven true that if you let God have control, He does better things.
That's a wonderful line to end on. Well said. Thank you, Brother Turner, for your time. Thank you for this interview. This has been great.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us here on the IBC podcast. One of the things that we strive to do is provide you, our listener, with excellent resources and content. That's why we've designed and developed what we're calling the Apostolic Doctrine Workshop. This is an online series of doctrine-centric lessons captured from our teachers here at Indiana Bible College and provided to you for free. You do need to register if you want to catch these lectures. They're going to be available beginning August 10th through the 13th and will be available for a short window of time. If you want to catch Brother Bobby Kilman on Christology, or Pastor Joshua Carson, or Brother Joshua Carson on the Book of Acts, or Brother Jason Gallion on A Theology of Leadership, you want to register for this conference. You will not regret it. Go to the website, ibc.com/doctrine, and join this free insight into some of the online lectures we've been gathering here at Indiana Bible College.